No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good morning to each and every person that's under the sound of my voice. Listening to the music again, I mean, the Holy Spirit just really moves in a powerful way. It really does. If you really engage into the Spirit when you get up in the morning and just let it have its way through you, the different songs minister to you. In the different times we're going through right now, this song is letting you know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No matter how things look, no matter what's going on around you, just continue to stand and trust God and stay in that vein of intercession and fasting and praying and just know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It's not saying that it's not going to form, but you have to put your tools, your weapons together to make sure that you stay up during this time, that you stay in a rightful position during this time. And I want to do something, you know, in my this morning, as I sat here a few minutes ago and was just praying before getting on the air, I asked God, I said, Father, what is it that you want me to pray? And I'm sitting in my office and I look over on my desk, and before everything started happening, COVID-19, all of this racism came back up. That we're going to today. ADM received a frame with the prayer of faith in this frame. And I picked up the frame and I started reading the prayer again. And I want to share that prayer with you all, because this one reason I want to share it, because before anything, as I stated, happened, but this prayer covers everything that we're in right now. But the prayer was given to us at the beginning of the year, beginning of 2020. And what was basically said to us throughout the ending of 19 going into 2020, that there were going to be some changes that took place, but we would come out victorious in the end. This was a year of blessings, and that's what we're being taught. So I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. I'm not going to pray. I want to pray. I want to read this prayer to you in the place of my prayer. And I'm more than sure that God is in approval of that. It's called the Prayer of Faith, and it starts out, Father, thank you for being our Savior and Lord. We come as son and daughters who you have given authority and rank to in the Spirit, not by our will nor by might, but the Spirit of the Lord. As I move in the Spirit as a diplomat agent on assignment in the kingdom that is coming against dark forces that are of this world and not of this world, in the name of Jesus, every diabolical assignment that the dark forces have on my life for the present and future, in Jesus' name, I disarm and disengage all dark forces in the spiritual realm and dimension. I declare and decree I will move easily in the spirit realm, dimensions, and levels without any resistance or hindrance. Now and forevermore, I declare government and social organizations in this year, 2020, Psalm 22:28, ESV, for kingship belongs to the Lord and he ruled over the nation. Therefore, Lord, I reclaim any blessings that is coming from government and social organizations, all back pay that I know of and do not know of, from my forefathers and mother generations, and so on. Genesis 17:7. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. Father, we disarm and disengage all injustice economic, environmental, political weapons of mass destruction, racism, internationally, and worldwide warfare. I want to read that again. Father, we disarm and disengage all injustice, economic, environmental, political weapons of mass destruction, racism, internationally, and worldwide warfare. According to 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Father, we disarm and disengage man-made disease intentionally and internationally and worldwide. Bacteria, sickness, and various. According to Matthew 8:17, this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. And according to Psalms 41:3 and Ezekiel 34:4, that is designed to take out a set of people, cultures, raised for self-wealth, self-greed, self-hatred. Father, I decree, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Therefore, Father, we thank you because the giant has been destroyed. Destroyed is in all capital letters. According to 1 Samuel 17:51, then David ran and stood over the sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And in Jesus' name, we declare victory. Now, I'm happy that the Holy Spirit has quickened me to look over that, because literally, my sister and I just literally got off the phone talking about these very same things. And then when I looked over, the second reason I read it is because I want you all to know that this was given to us from Apostle Temple Spencer. And if you heard the words that I read that came out of my mouth, it's speaking on the times that we're dealing with right now. We are dealing with injustice. We are dealing with a disease. But in this prayer, the prayer that went out, that it's covering all of that. It's covering everything that's going on right now. But this was in January. This was in January. This was us coming out of 2019, going into 2020. And if you heard what I said 2020. I didn't make it up. It's there in writing. So it just goes to show that God gives his true prophets his true word for him to spread it amongst the land, for him to spread it. I say all of this to say, get under the covering, even if it's by night. Get under it, because the prayer that he prayed, the prayer that he prayed covered things that were to come. He interceded for things that were to come. And we're here on it today. We are dealing with the very same issues. So what that lets me know, I can't speak for everybody else. What that lets me know, the song that he played, see, pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit. We don't sit and get on the phone and say, Apostle, play this song, or First Lady, play this song. Whatever comes in our ear. And see, that means that the Holy Spirit is hearing. God is pleased. God is really really dealing with us. He's dealing with the land. He's in control, although it does not look that way. Satan and his diabolical imps are doing a great job. Their job is to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's our job, as this prayer went out, is to continue to intercede and to continue to pray and to continue to know, as the song said, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, because it's already being told to you. The prayer has already went out. Remember in Daniel, the prayer went out and his answers, what he received his answer after there was a battle with Persia. The angel had to fight to get to Daniel to give him the answer. So I say that to tell you all, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't sit and get caught up into this racism thing or this COVID-19. Yes, we're human. Yes, we have different situations that's going to come up against us. But just know that somebody has already went to God before you. He's already interceded. He interceded for us and still is interceding since the beginning of January. God had already placed something in his spirit for him to just come out and say a prayer, not knowing that COVID-19 was going to shut the world down, not knowing that the racism and the killing of blacks and whatever else that's going on in this world, not just here in the United States of America, but in every country, we got some type of racism going on. And just know that God is not pleased about that. And I can sit and tell you that he's not pleased about it based on the scripture that the Holy Spirit gave me at exactly 6:44 this morning. I'm sorry, 6:46. And that was Acts 10:34. It says, then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus, Lord of all. So in Acts 10:34, God is basically telling Peter to speak. They were sitting and waiting for Peter to come with a message. Cornelius was to share with the people, because the Gentiles and I'm assuming God gave me that scripture because we in this racism that's going on, you know, people feel like, okay, if you a person of color, then you know you're not of God. You're just the worst thing on this earth. And even people over in the international waters, they get they're having racism issues as well. But see, what we need to know is that God loves everybody. And he shows no partiality to anybody. God receives all of us who receive him. God receives all of us who love him. Now, I'm not sitting and telling you that you can't have a favorite friend or a sister or something like that. But what I'm saying to you is that you can't treat people any kind of way. You can't treat the people who treat you any kind of way. You have to still love them with the love of Christ. You don't have to sit and be around them. You don't have to sit and you know, talk to them all the time. You don't have to, when a racist person come by you and may call you out of your name, call you a name that just defames you, just in your old man before you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you know, allow him to live for you, where you would have just knocked their head off or start calling them all type of different names back. What he's saying is that I love everybody. I love everybody who loves me. I love everybody who accepts me. I love everybody who has made me the head of their life. And I don't see you any different from whether you was a Muslim. I don't see you any different if you were this. I don't see you because you're Caucasian. I don't see you because you're African American. I don't see you because you may be Mexican, you know, Hispanic. I don't see you. God does not see that. God does not see any of that. God sees exactly what we give him. But at the same token, so we sit and we, these weapons are coming up against us. These words are coming up against us. These titles are tagged onto us. That's when you become the bigger person. That's when you come Christ-like and you go above and beyond whatever people sit and what other people say to you about what's going on in this world with the racism. And even people who have had COVID-19, they still being cast out like they're outcast because they might have been in the hospital or they might have had the symptoms and had to get treated for it and whatnot. So they're pushed to the side either. But God is not a person that has favoritism. God is not a person that's going to hold against you because you are a different color skin. God is not going to hold against you the different diseases that you have or you may have had that people may feel that you're contagious. God is going to accept you just as you are. God is love, and to receive that love, you have to love God. But most of all, the biggest essential thing that God talks about is love, loving your neighbor. And you have to learn to love yourself and be able to trust yourself. And as I go back to the prayer that was written, all of these things were forthcoming. All of these things were probably shown in a vision. I can't say exactly why the apostle came up with that prayer because it's not something we ever spoke about. It's just something that he loved us so much. The God in him said, listen, I need you to get this to my people. I need you to get this to my people because I need them to know that this is what's getting ready to come up, and they're already covered. They are already covered. They just need to continue to pray. They need to continue to fast. They need to continue to intercede. But most of all, they need to know that the weapons, not just one, not just two, the weapons that comes up against them, if they shall not prosper. They shall not prosper. The tone was already set, ADM. ADM, the tone was already set. The words of God had already went forth. It went forth. The protection, the covering was already there. God was letting us know that, yeah, you're going to come up against some diseases. You're going to come up against some injustice. You're going to have some economic problems. But my son has already went forth for you. So I just need you to stand still, be unmovable, keep the confidence, keep the faith. Don't let your faith die because I am here with you. I've already heard the prayer of the righteousness. So I just need you to stand fast and unmovable and just watch me work. Yes, the racism is terrible. It's getting terrible out here. I know last night my sister Monica was so moved about something that went on with a NASCAR driver, and I'm going to let her speak to you all about that. But I just want to sit and let you all know, and this is not a game. It's real. It's real. It's real. But God is letting you know from this prayer that I've already had someone to come before me. I've already had someone. This is Daniel went before his people. You got a lot of prophets that went before their people in the Old Testament. Prophet Temple in a modern day right now here. This is the prayer that came from the man that's righteous. And he stood in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this is the prayer that he prayed. Not just, you, and you notice it says international too. He didn't just pray for the United States of America. He didn't just pray for his members of ADM. God allowed him to pray for this whole entire world. So I just want you all to know to remain, stay encouraged. Stay encouraged because God got some things that that's going on, and he's allowing some things to go on because he needs to pull, as we talked about Paul yesterday. I once was blind, but now I see. He needs to pull some people's eyes, and he's doing it right now. Sister, go ahead. And I'm sorry. Go ahead, sister. It's just emotional right now when you can sit and see something in the movement. You can see the movement.
Yes, yes. God is moving. He's moving on a lot of hearts on today. He's moving on a lot of hearts of this year of 2020. And as Apostle Temple Spencer prophesied in that prayer, and that was a prophecy prayer, that prophecy prayer was powerful. Because it foretold, it forespoke on the things that we are going through on today, months, not even months. It was probably weeks after that thing went out. It did not come back void. And I just want to go back to the scripture that my sister initially came up with in the beginning, because God gave it to her for a reason. It ties right back into everything that I have been experiencing in the spirit as well. And if anybody knows anything about God's Holy Spirit, what he'll give to one, he'll give to many. And his spirit is moving, and the same messages are circulating. The same spirit, the same vein that's flowing through one will flow through many. And we are getting the same messages, and the ones that are speaking up, just pay attention to what they're saying, because it's vital to the body. That blood flowing through the veins of the body of Christ is his word, is the messages, is the encouragement, is his warnings, is him prophesying to us, preparing his people. He's raising up a people, and that's where this scripture hits on. On Acts 10 and 34, forgive me if I stumble and start messing up my words, because the spirit does hype me up and I lose control sometimes, but bear with me in my reading. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is no peace, that there is peace with God, though Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened through Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. And it goes on to speak on how even people that had not recognized God as the one true living God of Israel, that he was the God of all, that the Gentiles were going to get that message, that people that were not Israelite, that were not Jews, were going to get that message. And that's where it ties back into what my sister Anita brought up earlier about me being moved to tears. Now, I am a waterhead, but when I'm moved to tears and I say I'm a waterhead, that means I'm crying tears of joy, crying tears of the revelation of what the Holy Spirit was pouring out at that moment. And the Holy Spirit allowed me to see some things, because, see, a lot of us are on social media. We're watching TV. We're seeing the news reports, and the enemy is being exposed, and you're seeing acts of terrorism. You're seeing the acts of racism. You're seeing all these things manifest on social media and in the news, and TV is showing you, you know, that the enemy is busy. But see, there's another flip side to that, because God said yesterday, he showed the world, the same way the enemy was exposed and you could see what was going on, we also were able to see God moving and raising up a new people, not just us. Because see, we're already in the fold, saints. Thank God we're already standing with God. But see, there are people out there that don't know him. And that good news is getting to them, to where, just like in yesterday's word, the blinders are being taken off their eyes. The scales are falling from their eyes. even though the people may have been professing to be Christians but still exhibited racism or injustice to others or unkindness and not loving everyone, you still got to understand that God has a place for him, for them as well. And that's where this scripture spoke on, that God is not God does not have favoritism. He's not a respecter of persons. Anyone that fears him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. That's what the scripture in Acts 10 and 35 said, specifically in the King James Version. And I'm going to say it again because it says, but every nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness in him is accepted with him. And that's that is a word of inclusion. That is a word that lets us know that even though we're his chosen people, there are other people that are going to come into the fold with us. The Gentiles that weren't always raised up believing, that there are new people that was raised up in this current environment of 2020s terrorism, racism, disease and plagues and things that are attacking the people, not just us as Christians, but the world of human beings. The human race is under attack. And it was actually a story about a NASCAR driver, and I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis of what went down. This black guy, his mother is black, his father is white, and his father is the second generation of a legendary bloodline in the NASCAR world, and it's the Wallace. The guy name is Bubba Wallace. His dad and his granddad were legends in NASCAR. And now you got to understand that NASCAR is a billion-dollar industry, and it is very prevalent amongst a lot of people that love sponsorship and those race cars. It's a lot of money in that. Well, when Black Lives Matter rose up in protest against George Floyd's murder, they had a lot of influence to this young driver, because him being the only black man that's actually breaking records and winning races in NASCAR out of the hundreds or thousands of people in NASCAR, he actually said something about it to NASCAR, and he rose up and he painted his car black and put Black Lives Matter on his car, and he wore a t-shirt to one of his races that said "I can't breathe." He wore a black t-shirt that said "I can't breathe." Well, in his personal protest, he went to NASCAR and he asked NASCAR to take down those rebel flags, take down those Confederate flags, because it was an oppression or a message that his people were oppressed of, and it was a disrespectful symbol in NASCAR, and NASCAR heard his cry. Now, when NASCAR heard his cry, they took that thing down. They banned the rebel flags inside of for the drivers to display it on their cars, which it was very prevalent, and it was all over NASCAR. But when it went down, they made a final decision that they would not tolerate that, and they wanted to respect all lives. And if that was offensive, they wanted it to end. And so the rebel flag or the Confederate flag was taken out of NASCAR. But here God is moving on not only the owners of NASCAR, but he actually had an opportunity to use a young black guy who's 26 years old to say something and make a difference. So he spoke boldly, and he cried. You know, he cried out to God, but at the same time, he cried out to his sponsors. He cried out to NASCAR. And not just 3 days ago, someone in his camp went into his garage of many cars where they keep the cars, and a noose was found, a hangman's noose. And that thing was a message to him that he is still dealing with racism. And when that noose was made and put there, it was a threat. It was a threat, not just a physical threat in the natural, but a spiritual threat, that the enemy was angry. And when that message went out and he called authorities, the FBI is going to investigate it. But listen, everyone, this is what moved me to tears. He actually had a race coming up. And when this race was to begin, every single driver that was driving on the race that day, every single person on the teams of those drivers who were said white. Now, I'm not even trying to pull the race card or go on racism about this whole speaking, but they actually stood in solidarity with him. They actually came to his side and they said, we support your message and we do not condone what happened with that noose in your garage. And these hundreds of people pushed this man's car to the pole position. And if you don't know anything about NASCAR, the pole position is the first spot. It's at the starting line. They pushed him to the head of everyone else, his one car, and everybody else was on foot, walking around the track, moving his car to the first place position, the only black man in the game at the time. At this time, they pushed his car to position, and when he got out of his car and looked back to see the hundreds, maybe 1,000 people walking behind his car, standing in solidarity for what his message was, and heard his cry, he broke down and cried like a baby. Well, that's where Monica cried like a baby, because that was where God was saying, see, Monica, I'm working. I'm moving on people's hearts, because those people that pushed that car around there and put him in that pole position, those people that raised him up and he was humbled to see their solidarity and their support, that means that their blinders on their eyes have been taken off. The blinders that was taken off of Saul's eyes in Acts that was allowing him to see who Christ was, those blinders fell off of their eyes too, Monica. See, Monica, I am moving. People see what Satan's doing, but look what I'm doing. I changed the hearts and minds of many people that may have stood by silently, and they're now seeing what is the truth, what I want. And when they stand with me, when they stood with him, they stood with me. They changed their mindset. They stood for what's right, because you have a lot of people that profess to be Christians that don't always stand for what's right. But see, there's another message that came out. When I was bawling, I saw a great, his name was Richard Petty, and he is 83 years old in NASCAR, and he came up, and this is an old white man that probably has, you know, had a lot of privilege in his life. And he came up to this boy, and I say boy because he was 26, but he came up to this man and said, you know, it's okay. He wrapped his arms around him and he embraced him. And that guy broke down and cried like a baby. And when he cried like a baby, you could see that God had raised up a people and allowed him to see God in the spirit manifest in the natural. And when God is showing us these images, the social media, the newscasters, they were able to show us an image, no matter where it was in the world, that God is moving, that he's raising up new people. But see, that's not the end of this message. The end of this message is we are in Christ already. But what about the people that God is removing the blinders from their eyes? They may be new conversions. They may be people that are just now getting what we've already tasted and know that the Lord is good. They are just now getting that understanding. And they may have had a history of prejudice. They may have had a history of disrespect to other people of color. They may have not been kind and did not do right by everyone that they were in contact with. But today, on today, they're rising up with new eyesight. Their spiritual eyes are being opened, and their hearts are crying out to God, and that they're fearing and they're working righteousness, like the scripture says in Acts 10 and 35. And when those people rise up, what are we going to do as people of God? What are we going to do as the children of God? Are we going to stand back and reject them and lean away when they reach out to hug us? Or are we going to embrace them and intercede for those new souls that have recognized the one true living God is the God of all? Are we going to stand in judgment in the same way that they judged Saul when he was converted and they questioned whether or not he was worthy of being a disciple? If you know anything about Paul's life, he was a murderer. He was a tyrant. He did some awful things, and he was loyal to his beliefs in persecuting Christians. But when Christ met him on the road to Damascus, his eyes was open. He was spiritually brought up to speed. He was revealed that this is who I am. I am the one true living God. And why do you persecute me?
And that was probably the same experience. There was a Saul to Paul experience for a lot of people around the world on today, not just in the United States, but on today. We have a lot of brothers and sisters that are coming up. They are waking up from that coma. They are being shown the revelation of who God really is, and that they can no longer walk in that injustice, in that terrorism, in that disrespect of people. So as we stand by and we recognize that, yeah, God has us, but what about them, the ones that's just now waking up? We can't sidestep them and say, I remember how that person used to be when we were in school, or I remember how that person treated us on the job. No, we have to forgive. We have to forgive those acts if you recognize somebody that used to be that way. But what about where they are today? Where did God bring them today? What kind of attitude do they have on today that would make them stand in solidarity with you, that they would march in a protest with you, or they would even speak up and say that your life matters too? Because, see, they're no longer being silent. But what happened for them to say that they're no longer being silent? They didn't just wake up today and say, oh, I'm just going to march with a bunch of people in the streets today. I'm going to make signs and I'm going to stay in the midst of a whole bunch of people, even though there's a pandemic outside. God moved on some hearts this year. God changed some hearts this year. He changed some minds this year. And instead of them being dormant and staying in their safe place in their comfort zone, they rose up as a people, and we have become many. A lot of people came to Christ in many ways, and that's the thing. God is still moving. And he's allowing us to see this. So when you watch TV, when you go on social media, look at the people that normally didn't have the same message that are now saying, I now see what you're talking about. I now understand what God was saying when he said that he's no respecter of persons. The same way that they didn't believe that some of the people that they had looked down upon still had a love of Christ. That was the common denominator, that God created them too. And that God loves them too. So how can you profess the love of God that you have not seen when you cannot even love the man that's beside you? So as we look into these different faces of people that are coming out and standing in solidarity with you, the enemy will have you question. The enemy will want you to reject them and put them down and not give them the benefit of the doubt. But God said to me, look at forgiveness. Look what forgiveness does. Look what revelation does. When I raise up new people, what about the people that are already standing? Are you going to keep them on their knees, or are you going to lift them up as well? Are you going to allow them to stand beside you? Because you know what? How can two walk together unless they agree? That's what Ecclesiastes says. How can two walk together unless they agree? So if your brother man stands up out of racism or terrorism or any kind of hate or anything that is not of God, that he was in his knees in, and you're standing in solidarity with God, are you going to allow them to stay on their knees? Are you going to hold them down and not help them up? No, we're going to help them up, people. We're going to be the children of God that he's called us to be. Can't really reach out your hand and touch their hand and physically do that lifting, but see, you can intercede for that soul. You can intercede for that person because, see, God has given us a spirit of intercession that we will pray and move mountains. And that mountain may be moving something out of the way of that person that you see is trying to stand up with Christ, that they're no longer in their knees in ignorance. They're no longer in their need in hatred, and they're no longer in Satan's army, that they're no longer letting the enemy use them. So as we stand up and we allow other people to stand beside us, that we don't stand with a side eye and discount their conversion or discount that they have a revelation and that the blindness were taken off of their eyes and that now they see. We are to actually intercede. We are to have that forgiveness in our heart and that we are to love them and support them because, see, somebody had to love you and support you before you came, before you stood up off your knees. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody raised you up as well because each one teaches one. But, sister, I'm going to back up, and I'm going to stand back and let you finish this off. But I just ask each and every one of you to consider the words that came out today. Consider the message. The message might not be about where you at
where you at in your walk. It's where you're allowing other people to walk beside you.
And also the message is to let you all know that an intercessory prayer of faith went out before you. That those people that are praying, that's going before God, for you, I, and everybody else, before things could even happen, people that's really taking their assignment from God seriously and going to the table and fighting against all of these diabolical trust and belief warfare. Spiritual warfare is not something easy. I mean, I can imagine the punches and the bruises. I can remember when Apostle was could just barely stand because he had something going on, but yet he was still taking those blows. And unbeknownst to me, he was going in for you, I. He was going in for you, Italy. He was going in for you, all the other people that across the water, because the prayer is speaking about international. The prayer is speaking about racism. The prayer is speaking about economics. The prayer is speaking about all injustice. And this is what being a true and faithful servant of God, this is a prime example of when you have people that's on their assignments doing what they're supposed to do, praying without ceasing, fasting, consecrating themselves. It's the movement of today, what my sister Monica just got finished talking about. So I want people to understand that you have, through it all, from the beginning to the end, you have to remain prayerful. You have to pray without ceasing, and you have to believe your prayers, and you have to believe the prophecies. You have to believe them. This prayer speaks it all. It speaks it all. And I'm sad that everybody can't have it. I'm sad that because it's a monument in my home, because it clearly states 2020. So everything. Today, a new horizon, a new enlightenment came to my eyes. It's not that I sit and I doubt anything. It's just that I love when God's Holy Spirit manifests himself. I love when circumstances sit. I'm sorry that the NASCAR driver had to go what he went through, but he had to go through what he went through to allow me on this day, you, anybody else with ABM, to know that the prayers of the righteousness is being heard, that the prayers are going all over the land, that the person that's saying the prayer is selfless. They not praying for themselves. And it also lets us know, it lines us up, people, for what we are studying right now, kingdom principle, kingdom economics. This prayer speaks. I can't even tell you how excited I am about it. It just speaks volume. I mean, endless volume, that it came out prior to any of this taking place. But the movement of God is letting us know that God hears. He heard the prayer. He heard the prayer. And then with all of this, these different people protesting 20 plus days now, God is moving. God is moving because he heard prayers of the righteousness. I don't know how many other people prayed this prayer. I don't know. But I do know that the prayer that I have before me, that I see it, it has manifested. So I sit again, and I urge you all to come out with us. And I know if you're across seas, it's a different time for you. You may be 6 hours ahead of us, 2 hours, 3 hours, but obedience is better than sacrifice. Just come out and trust God. Trust the movement that God has going on. Trust the people that God has put into place, that army that he's building right now, that's not going to care what the other apostles, the other bishops, whatever the pastors are saying or what they're teaching, but going to speak the true word of God, coming from spirit and truth, not his might, but God's might. So I urge you to come on again tonight and just start flooding the line so you can get you know, you can be in this movement. It's a movement. You want to be in this movement, and you want to be in it. The number is 385-799-9620. We are on at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you want to be a part of the movement that God has going forth now. The prophecy went out. It's starting to unfold. It's starting to manifest. You do not want to miss the blessings that you, not just you, but your generations, your children's children will receive. So we love you all. We will see you on the line tonight at 8 p.m. and then again tomorrow at 7 a.m. Trust the power of God. Those are the last words. In God we trust. Trust that his power is moving. Amen. You all have a great day.